Morning, Braidwood. Gavin here. I'm joined as usual for our monthly chat, although we get a bonus this month. We got two monthly chats, perhaps. Welcome, Tim, overall.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. And, good morning, Braidwood. And, yeah, Jack's been around. Jack Frost.
Yeah.
He's painted the place overnight. And, what a beautiful sunny day, though.
Yeah, that usually is. Although sometimes we're a couple of times lately, we've actually had a really cloudy day. We haven't had the normal... it's all this, dare we say, climate change.
Well, that's right. But looking out the window now, the sun's shining, it's no breeze, a couple of golfers out there.
Yeah.
Lucky people.
Very true. All right, we've got the Eden Monaro election day tomorrow, so you got a bit of a tip or you
game? That's a tough one. Look, I'm generally wrong with my predictions when it comes to elections, but look, I think it obviously is going to be very close, and I think the postal vote situation, from what I'm hearing, is double what it normally is, so there could be around 16,000 postal votes, which won't be counted, of course, for another week or so.
Mm.
So it could well go down to the wire with postal votes, but look, if I had to put a dollar on it, or 10, I'd put it on a Liberal win. I wouldn't have said that a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I just don't know why I say that, but I just got a feeling that, as I say, I'm generally wrong. But I think one of the telling things will be the National Party preferences. And according to polling I've read about in the papers, that the National Party are looking potentially doubling their vote from the last election, from about 6% up to about 10, 11, 12%.
Right.
Now, that's quite a few thousand votes, and if there's leakage from the Nationals with preferences and the leakage away from the Liberals more than usual, well, that'll favour Christy McBain. And so it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my goodness, the whole of Australia is looking at this, as well as Xi Jinping and Mr. Putin.
Yeah. Or as I call them, Mr. Pong and Mr. Putrid.
Yes, but it'll be very interesting. I note that Sky News is going to have a broadcast from 5:30 tomorrow, constant broadcast with Peter Credlin, Graham Richardson, John Barilaro and Angus Taylor and Richard Miles from the Labor Party. And I think ABC News is going to have a broadcast with that sophologist, Anthony Green.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's going to be very interesting because, you know, Mike Kelly, he only won the seat the last election by about 1,500 or so votes. And I thought he'd win by 5,000, 6,000 votes because of his profile against an unknown, Fiona Kotvoyes, but there was only a difference of 1,500 votes. Now, Fiona Kotvoyes' profile is obviously really lifted, being a previous candidate and with this campaign. So who knows? I know Christy McBain very well, of course, from being a fellow mayor and part of the Canberra Region Joint Organisation of Councils, and she's been deputy chair of the CRJO in that regard, so work very closely with Christy. So I think there's a couple of really good candidates there.
Mm, for sure, and it's one of the interesting things about it that is if the Liberals do win, it'll be the first time the sitting government's ever won the seat in a by-election.
That's right. And the last time, yes, 100 years ago when the pandemic was around. What's that say?
Yeah, well, maybe the Liberals brought the pandemic here.
Sure. Yeah.
So, all right. So, have you had any contact with the candidates, either personally or through council?
Yes. We had a meeting with Christy McBain in the early days of the campaign. Christy came and sat down with myself and our general manager, and we went through the priorities of council for election commitments that we put out there, and as did Fiona Kotvoyes about a couple of weeks later, And I have to say, yesterday I had an appointment, a visit from Fred Nile from the Christian Democrats, who was in Queanbeyan, obviously supporting the Christian Democrats' local candidate. And yeah, very pleasant meeting with Fred Nile. He's now 86, and he's been there as in the upper house in Sydney now for 40 years. He was saying
40. Oh, 40 been around years. A while anyway, isn't it?
But in each case, what happened was that when it comes around to elections, the council considers a whole range of priorities that we'd be seeking funding for that we could put before candidates, and we put together a list at the council meeting, the Planning and Strategy Committee meeting, not so long ago, and there was over 30 projects we identified and put it together as a bit of a sheet. And of those 30 projects, we've been putting to all the candidates for priority funding if they wish to make commitments. First of all, there was the Nerriga Road, further funding in regard to the 6 to 7 kilometre section towards Nerriga Village, then from the quarry through to O'Allen Ford. That's about $20 million just to finish that project off in due course. The Braidwood Car Park, we put forward a $3 million funding opportunity there. Also with regard to Braidwood, the shared path linking Wallace Street and the Braidwood Services Club.
Right.
Estimate $140,000 for that pathway, footpath, all the way down the strip to the Services Club. Wallace Street renovation, estimated cost of $11 million. That's the rehabilitation of the main street of Braidwood to improve drainage and add tree protection and further paving. Mm. Also, one on the list of the 30 or so projects was the pedestrian bridge over Monkety Creek on the King's Highway there. Funding required $900,000 to install a pedestrian bridge alongside the road. There was more too. Yeah, the Braidwood Pool, funding required unlimited, but we said, you know, another $4 million to be handy to reconstruct the six lane 25 meter heated pool for Braidwood. Also the Braidwood Skate Park, $400,000. Braidwood Heritage Centre, probably $2.3 million, I think we put forward there. So a whole range of projects. Right. Sit down with the candidates, and not many commitments though. Nothing from that I'm familiar with from the Liberals. I think they're being guarded about making commitments, but Christian McBain's made quite a number of undertakings, but how they would be delivered in opposition is problematic, of course.
Yeah, it's very easy to promise things when you're in opposition and don't necessarily have to. If you can't deliver it, it's just say, oh, well, you know, in opposition you can't deliver. So,
well, that's right.
It passes it over a bit, doesn't it? So, all right, and talking a bit more about that, we haven't had a pre-poll booth in Braidwood this time. I don't think we did have one last time either, from memory.
You didn't?
No.
Well, we certainly do with the local government elections.
Yeah. Because I can remember there was a comment in the local paper about it. I'm fairly sure there was. Anyway, so do you know anything about that?
Well, no. Well, I was surprised there was no pre-poll for Braidwood and no pre-poll for Bungendore.
Mm.
Yet in Queanbeyan there were 2 5 minutes apart.
Right.
Whereas not in Queanbeyan there's only one.
Yeah.
So I just found it all a bit strange what the Electoral Commission are doing there. But anyway, that's what's occurred. But of course tomorrow, booths at the Araluen Federal Hall, Braidwood Central School as usual, the Braidwood Regional Arts Centre, and the Majors Creek Recreation Hall.
Right.
Oh, so
that's a reasonable
coverage. Got to get out and vote, and I'm going to go to the Queanbeyan Hospital tomorrow night at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I've got two of my close friends in there who are not doing very well. Right. And they happen to be in the same ward, so I'm going to the first hour I'll sit with them and we'll watch the election, early election count.
Right. All right. the ABC's got it from, I think, 6:30 they're starting. So, all right. So COVID and easing of restrictions continues.
Yes, certainly. And, it's worrying what's happening down in
Victoria
mm. and that and some of this non-testing stuff that's going on from, chap that's flew up to Sydney
and Balmain,
Woolworths, and that sort of thing is just, you just shake your head. But anyway, of course, our customer service centres, as we know, all opened on the 1st of June.
Right.
And, of course, in Queanbeyan, we've had to set up the temporary customer service centre at the Kew Theatre because of the distancing problems with the existing site and cafes, restaurant, food courts, that all relaxed from the 1st of June too, and the Braidwood Sale Yards reopened for the 5th of June sales, and I think the sales are on today too. Yes, they would be, first Friday.
Yeah.
And but as from the 1st of July, of course, Wednesday this week, new public health orders, so 20 visitors at any one time to a household. Of course, if you're over 70, you need to be very careful about that. And that's all part of the guidelines. No more than 20 people at outdoor public gatherings, and also community sporting activities, they can recommence.
Right.
So if there's more than 20 participants for any sporting or training, you've got to have a COVID safety plan. And that's a huge relief for a lot in our community. A lot of sports coming back.
Yeah.
I think the Brumbies are playing tonight. No, Saturday night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But then, new arrangements, of course, for funerals and religious gatherings and weddings. And all businesses can now open and operate under the one person per square metre rule. So for businesses, there's no restrictions apart from that one person per 4 square metre rule. So let's hope it continues and we continue to, have these restrictions relaxed, but it is a worry what's happening.
Yeah, I think, some people just seem to think, it's not going to affect us, so we don't need to worry about it. And that's why, a lot of these, that spike, because it's all been all community transmission.
I think, my reading of it, and this is just sort of speculation on my part, but, the demonstrations which are allowed to happen, particularly in Melbourne, whilst in themselves doesn't seem to be a cause of transmission, but I think what that did is send a real message to many in the community, it's not so severe after all, if you can do that, well, we don't need to worry about this so much, and people got lax.
Mm.
And so we've seen this spike. Now, that's one thought,
for sure.
Probably a bit of truth in that.
All the way through, they said that when the restrictions started to be eased, that we would get the odd spike, but I don't think any of us sort of expected the spike that we're getting at the moment, that's for sure. All right, so we've got government emphasis now is on economic stimulus, and I understand your council's got some funding.
Yes, we received part of the Deputy Prime Minister's announcement of the allocation of $500 million to help local roads and community infrastructure, known as the LRCIP program. All about COVID and infrastructure stimulus. And that allocation to all the councils of that $500 million was in accordance with the financial assistance grants we get every year from the government under population and road distance formulas. And so we were allocated just over $1.5 million for Queanbeyan Ballarat Council. So what we have to do is identify those projects which we can complete in the next 12 months, this financial year, and submit those as a work schedule to the government. So At our planning and strategy committee meeting of council back on the 10th of June, we identified those seven projects which we submitted out of a list of about 20 and submitted those to the government. So they included sealing street sealing in Bungendore, Butmaru and Majara streets, the Queanbeyan River path in a certain area, 400 metres of that to be built, to do further sealing works on Williamsdale Road. Two Braidwood projects were nominated. Firstly, $100,000 to extend the stormwater pipe down at the rec ground to enable the skate park construction. And LaSalle Street, we've allocated $800,000, but it's going to be a $1.2 million project, so we include an extra $400,000 for that as part of this funding. So that'll all come through, no doubt, once the government gives us the tick and they're satisfied it can all be done in the next 12 months.
Right.
And so, yeah, $1.5 million as a stimulus package. There was a lot of talk, though, Gavin, about, you know, millions of dollars coming forward, and but that hasn't happened, so it's the 1.5, but some very useful projects right there.
Yep, for sure, and at least it's a start anyway. I'm sure there'll be probably more money. They you know, don't want to just give it all out in one go. I think there'll be steps to it as they see, you know, progressions, you know, like work being undertaken and people, you know, back working again. That'll probably give them some incentive to say, oh, you know, here's a bit more. You know, I'm sure that'll...
Yes, for more major projects rather than just local roads and community infrastructure.
Yeah. Things that are going to employ a lot more people. All right, so June meeting of council, held remotely on Wednesday evening, of course, live streamed. You had a number of key strategic and key financial plans.
Yes, the adoption of the 2021 financial year operational plan and budgets and fees and charges. So that was all part of the normal process. So as we discussed before, the draft was out on exhibition. We had just over 80 submissions about the draft and adopted a couple of those recommendations in the final plan in resolving to adopt that on Wednesday last week. A couple of items included which weren't in the draft, the Braidwood footpath from Wilson Street between Wallace Street and the multi-purpose centre. Also, we provided $1 million subject to grant funding for the $1 million extra for the Braidwood pool, the next stage of the upgrades, and a number of other matters were also included. So the operational plan now, the budget as adopted, predicts an operational surplus of just over $3 million before capital. And I think just to recap, you know, in terms of the revenue stream to council, total rates income for the years being increased by the rates peg of 2.6%, and under the rates harmonisation and the creation of a uniform rate structure applying from the 1st of July, some rates increase, some rates decrease in the first year, but no one should be suffering any bill shock.
Right.
The New South Wales Valuer General, new valuations have also been taken into account with that harmonisation of rate structure. And the annual charges, the review of annual charges for water, sewer, water and sewer will be harmonised next financial year. But so for this year, annual charges of water, sewer, waste and other discretionary charges and fees all up by 2.6%, which is the rate peg.
Right.
And $160 million of capital works in the budget, which we've discussed previously. So that's all adopted and put away. Now, the other planning document we did consider was the draft Queanbeyan Palarang Local Strategic Planning Statement. And this is a new document which is required by all councils, and that's been out on draft. And what it is it's the land use planning document for the local government area which is a plan out to 2040, and it outlines the proposed future work items to be undertaken by council in respect to various strategic land use planning matters and other community priorities linking to our community strategic plan, and that has to be reviewed now every 7 years. So we received 43 submissions on that draft document, and on Wednesday last week we adopted it as amended. We accepted a lot of those submissions and made those adjustments, so that's now adopted, and that'll be the framework going forward for land use planning out to 2040.
Right.
Yeah, so a couple of key documents, major documents, were adopted at the meeting.
Right, okay. All right, so we've got your music track now. What have we got this time?
Oh, I think this is the... we had this some time ago, I think, from the early days of satellites, the Tornadoes.
All right. Yeah, well, I think we did have that one too.
Telstar. We'll have it again.
All right. Fortuitous, or no, that's not really the word. A looking ahead song, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. And you know, from the same CD, there was I almost selected a different song, instrumental. Bob Moore and his orchestra, Mexico. But I thought that wouldn't be a bit insensitive, because people refer to Victorians as Mexicans. They do, right. Particularly around Albury.
Oh, okay. and I guess that's true. And there's probably a reason for that, I guess, with all the border stuff going on in America, isn't it?
That's right.
So, all right, back to the June meeting of council and the annual QPRC donations program on the agenda.
Yes. Well, we had a couple of items in regard to donations. We, just before we get on to the general donations program and the result of that, there was a request for an extension of time for a special heritage grant, which we had previously allocated to the Anglican Hall in Braidwood, seeking a further 12 months. So council resolved to, certainly extend the time for expending those funds to a further year, to June 30th June 2021, so we're actually rolling over that expenditure for a further year,
right,
to help the Anglican Hall in Braidwood. But in regard to the general donations, of course, this is what we do every year. We allocate $60,000 and call for applications from the community for general assistance funding for the relief of poverty, hardship, provision of assistance to less advantaged persons through welfare services and facilities, public health services, education, transport, housing, and so on. Or category B, for community not-for-profit organisations which wish to hire facilities for nothing, for meetings or events, that sort of thing. So, for the first time I can ever remember, we were undersubscribed by the $60,000.
Wow.
Normally we're well oversubscribed.
Yeah.
So that sort of must be symptomatic of this whole COVID pandemic and less events, less functions, less meetings.
Mm.
So, but what we finally resolved was to approve all those applications which were received, and just in regard to that, I think of the 24 applications, there were just two from Braidwood.
Right.
Braidwood Lions Club. The maximum amount for any donation is $2,000. So the Braidwood Lions Club, $2,000 to support the Young Writers Festival,
yep,
for this year. And I think there was another one from Braidwood. Yes, the photographic history book, The History of Braidwood Hospital, 1828 to 2020. So there was an application to support that, again, $2,000. So congratulations to those applicants. I think in regard to the Braidwood Hospital, Roslyn Medrill, Elaine Collins and Paris Sylvester put in that application.
Right.
So that's excellent.
Yeah, that's good. It would be quite some quite interesting stuff, I would imagine, sharp on that photographic memoir, I suppose one might call it.
But it becomes very much associated with the whole history of Braidwood, and the same with Queanbeyan, with the old Ruston House Hospital, which is now a heritage building going under renovation to become an arts hub in Queanbeyan. We're going to do a whole history about Ruston House. It's about the same history in terms of time going back to the 1860s for the Ruston House Hospital in Queanbeyan too.
All right, so on the meeting agenda was a community satisfaction survey. So just how satisfied or dissatisfied is the community when it comes to QPRC? That would be a touchy subject. Yeah, yeah.
Well, like most councils, we engage Jetty Research to undertake two surveys of the community. The first one was in September 2 years ago, 2018, and also to conduct a survey in March this year. And the 2018 survey serving as a benchmark, and so we can measure with the new council how we're tracking or how the community thinks we are performing, and what's good, what's bad. So the statistically valid survey by Jetty Research showed that 55% of residents were either satisfied or very satisfied with council, with 15% dissatisfied or very dissatisfied, and 30% neither satisfied or dissatisfied. So this gave us an overall satisfaction rating of 3.5 out of five, 3.5 out of five, which was higher than the other nine regional councils of a similar size surveyed by Jetty Research across New South Wales.
Right.
So from that perspective, it's a pleasing result.
Mm.
So the survey really focused on all of our 25 services, with libraries, water supply, sewage collection, parks, reserves and playgrounds, and council pools and sporting facilities, scoring 3.98 out of 5 or higher. So a good result there. Poorer performing services included development applications. Some level of frustration there with council in getting development applications through. Unsealed roads, tourism marketing, building inspections, and some concerns about how we consult with the community. So some areas of improvement there. So overall, I have to say it's fairly positive. And it is worth noting that this survey was done in March, as I mentioned, this right. year. So that's just a few months after the bushfires, the devastating bushfires, just after COVID had started to impact across Australia and following the long-term drought. And so all of these factors would have had some impact on the outcome of the survey. Well, you would think so anyway.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So I think it's largely positive, but some clear areas of need for focus.
Mm.
And that's a really good thing about doing these surveys.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to see where, you know, find out the things that people are happy or satisfied with and the ones that they aren't, and then then up to the council to find ways of improving those things.
Yeah, well, what normally happens then, because every senior middle manager, senior manager through the chief executive all have performance agreements and key performance indicators to achieve, and they're set, and these things are taken into account, the survey results, in setting those benchmarks and what's to be achieved.
Okay. Well, it's quite involved, isn't it, really? All right. Any other things that you general matters?
Well, a couple of matters, Gavin. The draft asset management plans of council are now out on exhibition for community comment and until the 13th of July. Now, we're required as a council to develop asset management plans for assets owned and managed by QPRC, and to really describe the level of those current assets in terms of maintenance and life and condition, and also, most importantly, define the level of service required to maintain those assets in the future. You know, you can rank them out of 10. Do you maintain an asset at a satisfactory level, which could be a level 5, or do you want to maintain them at 7 or 8? To an extremely high standard, and that carries with it additional cost. So we have to assess all the assets like that. So the plans are out on exhibition for water, sewer, buildings, parks and recreation, stormwater and transportation, all those asset management plans, and a lot of work's gone into this with our staff and some consultants, and the community can have their say about particular assets and whether they think they're being maintained properly or not, or priorities, just through our website, completing the online form on the website, or emailing council@qprc.nsw.gov.au, or just writing to the council. The hard copies of those plans can be viewed at 144 Wallace Street, as well as in Bungendore and Queanbeyan.
Right, okay.
And the other thing I'll mention is that the Ellerton Drive extension, the ring road around Queanbeyan with the high-level bridge, is being opened on Friday.
Right.
It's next Friday.
Finally happening.
At 10 a.m.
Yeah.
COVID, so limited to 50 people with appropriate spacing. So representing the state government will be Paul Toole, the Minister for Roads, the Deputy Premier, of course, and representing the Commonwealth, Senator Jim Molan. So the Ullerton Drive extension, $87 million project, $25 million was from the Commonwealth, $25 million from the state, and the rest council borrowed under a long-term fixed interest loan with all the principal and interest be paid off by developers, particularly the Googong development. And this has been a 10-year project in planning, and now it's being delivered. And I have to say that I've stayed the course on this project the whole way through, whereas I've seen quite a few others fall by the wayside because of pressures from certain sections of the community. But the surveys that were undertaken by RMS of our community in Queanbeyan was that there was support, strong support for this road of 4-1 across the community. So it's going to be very much welcome. The big opening on Friday.
Right, all right. Well, it's certainly all the time, we've been talking about it all the time that you've been coming in and talking to us, so it seems to be going for quite a while, doesn't it?
Okay. Yes, the only other thing I'll just mention is today's the last day for the 2020 Southern Inland Volunteer of the Year Awards.
Right.
And of course, with all the bushfires and droughts, and people have been doing extraordinary things and in volunteering in different ways, whether it's with emergency services or in other capacities. So this is the last year for the New South Wales Volunteer of the Year Awards, now in their 14th year. They've grown to be one of the largest celebrations of volunteering across the country. So nominations closed today. So there is an opportunity today to get those nominations in just by going to their website, which is volunteering.com.au.
Right, okay.
Volunteering.com.au, if you wish to nominate on the last day someone in our community.
Okay. All right, so you'll be back again Friday the 24th of July, same time, following a July meeting of council.
Yes, looking forward to that. So, two broadcasts this month because I was caught out last Friday with some announcements by our Deputy Premier, which I had to be at because it concerned QPRC.
Right, okay.